Chucky, what is your state motto, your slogan?
We are the... We like the Wildcats. We like beer. We like titties, and we're adding one hell of a time.
It's the Catakin. Kentucky beat the mighty Wright State Raiders 103-62 and start off undefeated in the Mark Pope era. Fellas, how we feeling?
Great. Feeling good.
Are they the Raiders?
I Googled it.
They have a dog logo.
But... Yeah. They have a dog. I hadn't heard anyone talk about their team name and saw a dog in a suit.
Can't believe I'm doing a podcast with a bunch of non-ball knowers.
Wright State. I know they're named after the airplane guy, so that's something. But yeah, it was the first real game. Very exciting stuff for Pope and his family. I think that might have, like, he was pretty nonchalant about the emotional aspect of winning his first game as a head coach for his dream job. But you know that he appreciates the magnitude of what the day was. They played a good game. The defense was amazing. They were forced to maybe go away from shooting the three as much as they would prefer, but they still scored 103 points. So ridiculous offense coming off of the starting guys. And then OA looked like the best player on the court, in my opinion, tonight at least. And yeah, they just executed every level with this team that he put together in like 2 weeks. Ridiculous how exciting this season is going to be for us. I don't think that people were expecting it at first to be. We were talking about punting the year for Billy Donovan.
Yeah.
So true.
But here we are.
I mean, we weren't. People were.
Right.
Yeah.
Unserious people.
I mean, I think it just goes to show you like how intentional all the team building was over the, like you said, it was quick, but like you, like there's not a wasted spot here, you know, like everybody's got a role, big or small, but like even on a night where, you know, Jackson, you know, scores eight, but still, you know, finds ways to contribute. You have other guys step up huge. I mean, look at the balance. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in double figures with Jackson at 8 and BG at 6. You know, I mean, so that's pretty outstanding balance throughout the whole team. Just, you know, not a lot of drop off really when we go to that second unit, like you alluded to, Ben.
Yeah, one. And we had 5 different guys hit a 3. We had 1, 2, 3, 4 guys with more than 4 rebounds, 3 guys with 5 assists. I mean, it comes from all over. It comes from all over in different ways. I mean, we sort of mixed it up a little bit. The lineups kept changing pretty interestingly. You know, sometimes it was Almanor at the 5. Sometimes it was Carr. Sometimes it was BG. Sometimes it was Amari. Amari looked really good. 12 and 13, 3 assists. Like, everyone looked pretty good.
And Amari Williams looks ready to go for Duke. You can tell that he came out fired up. Like, you can tell he has Cooper Flagg on the mind.
He does. I mean, it's a huge task, but I think he's going to be up to it. That's why guys like that come to Kentucky for their last year. You know what I mean? Is this the kind of stuff that Pope sold him on? I'm sure of it. Is, you know, here in a week, you're going to be going against, you know, the pretty much consensus number one pick for next year. You know what I mean? It's going to be electric. I can't wait to see it. I think he's going to hold his own.
Perimeter defense. Take an OA 3 for 3 for 3. And Kobe Brea 4 for 4. We got the Kobe Brea that was advertised all offseason tonight.
Yep.
Yeah. And he turned around and talked to the crowd before that shot, even when Kirk Risa was going to go for a layup, and then just he passes it out to Kobe Brea standing out there by himself. He takes that shot, and it's like not even to the goal yet. He turns around, hypes up the crowd. Splash. Just
the
cinema.
Kerr. The Kerr is so fast on that play. He just had it and was immediately behind everybody. That layup was free. He 100. He had it free and clear. And just no look. to Brea, but Kerr was also turned around running to get back before it went in. He knew just as much as Brea did.
Yeah, a lot of cinema tonight. I think that was good for the Kentucky fan base. Well, I think if the spread was 20 points, we obviously doubled that plus one. So
41 for Boat.
Yep, obviously a little bit underrated as a squad, but I think that's perfectly good with me because it's just really fun to feel like one of the best teams in college basketball in November.
I'm glad that we played early in the day, but you know, this evening slate, we were one of the earlier games, and now we sort of get to watch some of these others end with, you know, everyone at the beginning of the day today is so excited to watch their team. You know, we have maybe more reason to be excited than some because we have all this new stuff. We've just wanted to see these guys play, so we're thrilled. But like everyone, every college basketball fan is so excited for today. And some teams do not feel great now. You know, they had their hopes up and whoops, lost a bye game.
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad for every other team. Yeah. I feel bad for every other team because they don't have Mark Pope.
Yeah. He was smiling on the, it was joy. You know, it's just the reason that I watch Kentucky basketball is because of all the fun that I had as a kid with my great grandpa and my grandpa, and my dad watching Kentucky basketball after school and everything. It was just always fun. And I feel like maybe got a little bit for me in particular, I guess individually, I'm sure people were having fun watching Kentucky basketball, but there was always just dread about it. And this like weird chasm, I think, between the team and the fan base that doesn't even remotely exist right now. I feel like I know so much about every one of these players. I feel like I know a lot about Mark Pope and his family, what he's doing, like even on the high school recruiting trail, going to barbershops. Just everything is fun and a joy to be a fan of right now.
I think the staff is having fun too. I saw Mark Fox had a post standing in front of that LED court, just talking about how appreciative he was to be here, how much fun he's having, and how excited he was for this next year. Evan Brooks had a photo he posted today. Pumped to be here. So grateful for the opportunity. I mean, I think they're all having a blast so far with this team as well.
Rupp was lit.
Can you tell me one time Chin Coleman posted anything about the team on social media? I mean, I just, and maybe some of that content was there. I don't know. I didn't follow them. I wasn't invested in them as people in the way that I am with these guys.
He really made the point. It's Kentucky's team, right? Not his team, not their team, just everyone, you know, Kentucky's team. I really think he really means that too. Like you can tell his time there meant a great deal. I mean, it's just all good feels. And I really don't see it being like a short-lived thing either. It feels like every step of the way, it's been impressive. Every, you know, from the recruiting to just, I mean, eventually there's going to be, you know, like you said, you know, there's going to be losses, there's going to be this. But for now, I mean, it's been pretty much perfect.
Yeah. And this style of, because he's not just the coach, and obviously he's a really good coach. He's developed this team that he built very quickly with transfer portal guys into something that seems to be clicking. But he's the like CEO of the Kentucky basketball experience. And
yeah,
he's the director. He knows there's all of these other aspects. And not only does he know that those exist and accept that those are his duties, he enjoys it and he thrives doing it. All of the pageantry and the cinematography, the nostalgia, everything, he hits it. And then he brings these kids in and just immediately gets them right in the middle of it, bought in. And that's something that you can be a really good X's and O's guy, or you can be a big, you know, locker room, whatever, NFL coach type. But he's just nailing it in every single facet of being the coach at Kentucky.
Everything he does feels very intentional to me. Like, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of wasted energy, wasted steps. Like, you know, he went and got his guys when he wanted to get his guys. He had to, you know, and he's doing the same thing in the high school recruiting. But yeah, absolutely. I feel like everything's been on point, intentional, no wasted energy. And if, I mean, you know, bigger challenges ahead, but you know, you got Bucknell and then it's the big leagues with Duke. So it's ramping up real quick.
Yeah.
They did want,
go ahead.
They did one of those. I always think these are kind of lame, like when they had Pope drive Jimmy Dykes in so that he could do like an interview in the car. Never a great interview. But one of the things was Jimmy asked, like, what would make a successful season for Kentucky? And Pope said, everyone getting just a little bit better every day. Said the players getting a little better every day, the coaches getting a little better every day, the staff, the graphics and media people. I mean, so when you talk about him being a CEO, like, he's aware that things like the graphics team is like kind of his responsibility. And our graphics have been awesome recently, like across the board. The social media has been killing it. And again, I think that's something that not a lot of teams' coaches are that engaged with.
Because they don't care about the school that they're at. Yeah, they care about coaching their team or whatever. But he really just gets it in every way. Kentucky basketball. I don't think there's a person that could get it more and execute it better. So
he gets Barnhart. We should do commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. That would after tomorrow, no more political ads, just Mark Pope hype ads.
Let's go.
Pure Pope propaganda.
Yeah. And you say intentional.
Yes.
Like he's very intentional, but it's like he's intentional, but he's not like in this calculated political type way or whatever. He's just,
extremely authentic as well.
Exactly. Yeah. He knows that he is the person to do this. And
yeah,
he is.
Also, after the game, he was even saying, he was like, I'm not going to cry right now. But just to acknowledge that, just to know like how much it means to him is just, it's really cool to see.
And his daughters, like, they got a lot of screen time because they're right behind the bench. Just going nuts in their sick Kentucky gear all game.
Also unrelated, but a lot of screen time. Kelly Kraft and Morgan and Morgan and Morgan and Morgan. And a big Morgan and Morgan hat right behind Pope on the sideline.
It's part of the deal.
Got to get that NIL money.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm all for it. We need more donors that we can name as donors other than the Crafts. I'm happy to say that
we got all the Morgans.
I don't know, but I don't think it's like a personal thing. I think it's like a firm thing too, kind of like there's an article interviewing. They're like, They have a position that they've created for someone internally that like manages their NIL efforts.
Finally, that's awesome. Well, specifically about this game, anything else stand out to y'all?
Yeah, the turnovers or the lack thereof continues to impress. Mm-hmm. I mean, running at the pace they're playing, to have, you know, at seven tonight, I think five and six respectively in the two exhibition games. Again, nuts at the pace of play. You know, I think the other thing was the assists. We had 30 assists on 39 made baskets. That's pretty incredible. Just sharing the ball, not turning it over, causing turnovers, getting turnover, you know, dunks and layups, just absolutely outstanding. I mean, yeah, but the lack of turnovers is the big thing I noticed, because that, again, regardless of the level of competition, which obviously you're playing, opponent that's like beneath you in some ways, but to A, go out and do what you're supposed to do, win by 40, and to do it as clean as they did is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, for all the talk about like no continuity too. This is a brand new team, no production from last year, yada yada yada. They come out like a team that has been playing together.
They say 585 starts combined, obviously none of them for Kentucky, but they've all played a ton of basketball. So I mean that's huge. That still counts. There's still 500 plus starts that this team has had, you know, throughout their career. So probably a lot different from most opening games at Kentucky, I would imagine, with the five-star recruiting classes that, you know, aren't exactly ready to roll out of the gates. I don't really know. Haven't paid as much of attention before this year, but, you know, I'd imagine it's a little different.
Well, maybe three of those seven turnovers were not like silly, stepped on the on the line kind of thing traveling. It was like a pass that would have been a dime had they been on the same page. Amari had at least two. I think he had four overall, and that's something that, you know, these guys do have starts, but it isn't all together. And so, and I think as they play more, they start to right and again, it wasn't a travel, it wasn't fumbled the ball steal. He did have one where he just kind of lost it and it like went out of bounds off his knee, but I think at least two of his were really nice passes just to somebody who wasn't there because they aren't quite, you know. I think at one point they even called it out. He zigged when he thought he was going to zag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's stuff you know will be enough over the course of a season.
Yeah.
Right.
And you could tell the vision from Mark Pope with the guys and the archetypes of players that he has here. But today, Jackson Robinson wasn't, you know, the all-star of the game. But we still had Otega Owe and Kobe Bray come out and put on a show as guys who can go get buckets or whatever, you know, we were saying we didn't have all summer. There's always going to be somebody when you have that many dudes that can go 100% from three for the game and yeah. Still, yeah. Owe with his pigtails, just tearing everybody up. A lot of points in the paint, I think. Yeah. 56 points in the paint. It's probably more than anticipated percentage wise.
They were running guys off the line.
Another layer, yeah. Dimension to the offense that we haven't had to see really with the exhibition games that we saw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw them execute it again. They're executing whatever is thrown at them.
I liked seeing them run us off the line and forcing us to go inside and have to make plays. Because in the beginning, the threes, they weren't falling as much as you'd like until they did. And then they just started raining down. And then that's when we started pulling away. And I feel like we're going to have a bunch of games go that way this year.
Yeah.
For a while, Owe and Almanor were both just feasting on layups. Yep. Just real simple, cut inside, right there. You know, not flashy, just consistent. And Almanor ended up 5 of 7 overall, I guess.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be a filler, right? That's what everyone said when they signed him.
He played some mean defense tonight, too. There's a lot of stuff. I'm excited to go back and watch this game because, like, Lamont tortured anybody he was on the guarding in the perimeter. Like, that guard went like 0-for-9. He was pissed the entire game with Lamont chasing him around. And
seen him do that for years now.
But what's great is you can tell that Coach Pope sees that in Lamont, and then he's fostering that in the other dudes, the young dudes. Like, that's what he's pushing them to try to do. I mean, they're obviously not Lamont Butler, because I think Lamont Butler is the best perimeter defender in the country, but that's their aspiration, and they see it every day. They practice against him every day, and now they're trying to model themselves after his game. It's just, starts this year, and it keeps going. It's like you see not only the short term with Mark Pope, but you can tell that there's long term goals and plans in place for developing these kids.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if I'm just the head of the Otega Owe fan club over here, because I feel like I keep raving about him every game.
Yeah.
But Lamont Butler with 3 steals, Otega Owe 3 steals, and he was
also 3 exactly.
Yes, no, I mean he was
always been outstanding.
Owe looked like a very highly regarded NBA prospect type talent on the court tonight against the guys that he was playing against, and I think I honestly think that he's just going to impress enough throughout the year that he's going to be on people's boards, their mocks, because he's
another
just
thing that stood out to me was Butler getting to the rim. We hadn't had to see a ton of that, but we talked about getting run off the 3-point line. He's not necessarily the 3-point shooter. He goes 0-for-2 tonight, but 6-for-12. Him putting up 12 shots. You know, I mean, he had a great game, and I think him getting the rim, his finishing ability is kind of something we haven't really talked about or have heard talked about, because we talked about the defense. And at San Diego State, they don't really run a ton of sets offensively. It's mostly play off the defense. And you know, I mean, he's hit the biggest shot that I can remember in the last like 4 or 5 years to go to the championship game. I mean, he's got it. So it's good to see him, you know, put up 12 shots there. A lot of them at the rim, you know, getting a couple and ones there.
Yeah,
I thought he had a really good game. That was just one thing I noticed, is he hasn't been the one to take. I mean, he took the most shots tonight, so, you know.
His defense also creates fast break offense.
Oh, yeah.
That
right.
Just it, the way that it complements, the Pope system of shooting within the first 15 seconds, it's just beautiful. It's just such good basketball. It's fun to watch. I'm excited. I'm excited to go back and watch it and, you know, pick it apart positively, because you can't pick apart negatively a 41-point win.
My the one player I was going to be kind of critical of was Garrison. It really wasn't that bad. He just had one stretch that was awful, where he should have passed, went for a bad shot instead, missed, got his own rebound, should have passed again, went for his own shot again, missed, went down to the other end, fouled. I mean, it was just like an ugly stretch. He ended up with 6 points still, but he tied the 2-point guards with a team high 5 assists. So even he had some bright spots.
Yeah, he's very productive for being like, you can tell he's a developing
and five, no turnovers.
But he's productive still because he's a freak athlete.
He'll get a couple moves in his bag. He'll calm down on the block a little bit because he gets a little happy when he gets down there. But like I think he's just excited to be playing. You can see the raw physical ability he's got. You know what I mean? And I think he's going to definitely be a big piece down the road. And honestly, now too, he's putting in productive minutes. You know, he like you said, 6 points, 5 assists. Didn't have a little bit of foul trouble, but that's, you know, again, a 40-point win, what else are we going to pick on besides you know, little things like that? But 2 steals as well for the man out of the 11 for the team. Yeah, so not a bad start there either.
I was pleased watching him get his hand in there some. You know, maybe Lamont's rubbing off on him a little too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Carr, absolutely.
Played very solid all game. You know, playing defensively, I think he was had a lot more bounce defensively this game. Yeah. And that was
seemed to move quicker laterally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then his Mulligan three come back to him and then he splashed it the second time. It was very good.
Pope's dead serious about if you don't shoot it, he'll pull you. Shoot the ball. Mm-hmm.
I like what that says about team mentality and that he missed but gave it right back to him and his mentality. Mm-hmm. I missed. I'm just gonna move, get in a spot I like better, shoot it again.
Yep. Well, and then absolutely. I mean that they realize, oh, this isn't just a big guy; like he can shoot the three, so they're not going to leave him completely open again.
I would say my only concern, if I did have one, was it doesn't seem like we have the biggest urgency when it comes to rebounding. It doesn't seem like we're necessarily trying really hard to box out each time.
Feels like we're trying to out athlete really run a after bit.
The loose ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also felt like we were maybe expecting long rebounds. Too many times. That was
been playing ourselves too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I wonder. I'm sure. When you get to coach up that being, you know, something they'll work on in practice this week after having won by 41 points, it's a pretty good week.
Yeah, for sure.
No, definitely. I think that's honestly. I think I mentioned that one of the weird watching a little bit is the box outs. A couple times it felt like we got, you know, they got a couple easy ones. But again, it's tough when you're up 40, you know, 30 plus points in a game to do this. But those are the little things that are going to matter in a week and a half or whatever it is when they, you know, in 9 days we play Duke, and you got to get those rebounds might be the difference between a win and a loss there. You know, so I guess that's a good point, Jared. I think that's probably the biggest thing that they'll focus on. If, you know, going back and watching just off of the rip, I bet that would be the biggest takeaway. And then, you know, getting Kirk Risa back up to speed. He's obviously still a little bit behind, just having been out for a little bit, but, you know, getting him back to full strength would be nice. And then, he really is though.
I can't get over how fast he is. He is just, he pushes the ball. So
he's trying to get one of those Amazon Prime thing following like they used to do for De'Aaron Fox.
Right.
Next-gen stats. Let's go.
He's like singularly focused on getting the ball there as fast as he can. And he does so well, quickly, accurately. And I mean, he only took those 2 threes, neither of which were a bad shot, but he just wasn't focused on scoring. He could have had that layup.
It's true.
Was that Andy Reid?
Oh yeah,
it was.
Sweet game.
He could have had that layup and
Andy Reid jump scare.
I didn't see it.
Oh man, dude, it was right over my shoulder.
I was more looking to see how many assists he had. He had the 5. Okay.
Wait, does anybody know how many fantasy points Bucky Irving got today? Wait, is Cal's catch?
You know, I don't.
I will say with Kerr. There was a play where he was on defense and they sort of caught him one on one and just a guy backing him down and it's a like a turnaround jumper over him. It was, I mean, he played great defense on it, but the guy just he made it. Sometimes the offense wins.
They actually had several of those.
Yeah, and
some really tough shots. Yeah,
he scored it over Kerr and they inbound the ball to Kerr and Kerr just sprints right back up the court and just immediately starts dishing it out. And I think that's cool about having, you know, these veteran players is they've learned, you know, the cliche like short term memory where they're just immediately just like, okay, let's go.
I hope that runs off too. Like, I hope that's the kind of thing that the freshmen are absorbing.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch a ton of Travis. I've watched maybe a couple Travis Perry full game videos, but there were a couple times it looked like Travis was trying to hustle like her does. I mean, it looked like he was really pushing it and trying to do those long cross court outlet passes. And if he can play like that eventually, the way he shoots, I mean,
big time.
What a great freshman to have, and what good guys for him to learn from.
I don't think it gets any better for her to learn from. You got that, Frank? I mean, geez, man, that's a. Well, Mont Butler he's going to impart some wisdom on these young cats and Kurt Carissa as well. It's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, Lamont Butler needs to be your graduate assistant if he's not in the league next year.
Yeah.
What I like is, I think I've overlooked it largely through the offseason, and it's just now hitting me, is that you have these veteran players now, but you still have young players in Perry and Noah and Chandler, these guys who might return back for next year, that are going to pick up these habits from these veterans. And then when we have the new players come in, this can sort of snowball, and we're actually building team culture. And that's something we haven't really had in a very long
time.
What
is that?
Yeah. It's that Pope culture. You're about to learn. I'm psyched. I mean, there's going to be some ups and downs, but this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. This guy is just, he's winning everyone over. I mean, you guys were the first to come around, but like most of the fan base was not. And yet here we go. Somebody will play us within 30 one of these days, I'm sure, but not today.
Yeah.
Not within the next three or four games. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, a bunch of scrubs on the schedule. I'm worried about Bucknell, and then you got some scrubs over in playing them in Atlanta or something. And Lipscomb is a big one. Yeah, it'd be good. Champions Classic.
Any parting thoughts, fellas? Very casual, 41-point win.
It's hard to think about it this way, but like, this will be the game that we look back on because this is his first W. And if he pans out the way that, you know, we have kind of bought into him panning out, tonight's
a big one. Some nets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's his first W. This is a guy that does not seem, he seems to be fulfilled by the job rather than depleted by the job. It's a lot of staying power in the way that Mark Pope seems to operate as the head coach of University of Kentucky. So tonight's a big night. And
I
hope he takes a little bit of a celebratory breather, because you know the guy's going to be on the road tomorrow to do something crazy. He doesn't ever sleep.
Go Cats.
Hell yeah.
Well, we're back. Please remember to like and subscribe. Hit us with a review on iTunes, and we will catch you guys next time. It's the Cat again. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
I'm drunk.